Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andrew P. Shea. Ross Tucker will be along shortly for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. But first quarter, it's going to be me and Andy. We're going to be talking news. And just to let you know, Andrew P. Shea showing you what kind of gamer he is. He's playing Hurt. How you feeling, Andy?
I'm doing okay. It's like the second time in a month that you've said that. And I have three words for you. That is what my doctor said about what I have going on. You be old. That's it. I'm like, why is this? And he goes, you be old. And I'm like, okay.
Yes, yes, you are. All right, let's get to the news, though. You're going to play Hurt. Let's do it, Andrew.
Let's do it.
All right, first up on the news item, Joseph Johnson, a cornerback. He was in the, I believe, the 2020 recruiting class, and he has decided to enter the old transfer portal. We're reaching the point now, guys entering the transfer portal, ultimate just seems to be the reaction is, well, all right, there's another one, right?
Yeah, it's not at this position, this and for him, he came in January of 2020. He was an early enrollee, right? So I think based on spring and last season and seeing the landscape of the corner, you've got four corners ahead of you with experience. You have an incoming freshman who is the coaching staff's eye candy. And, you know, they're like goo-goo gaga over him. And I think we'll be talking maybe a little more about him later in the show. But there's a true freshman quarterback who's absolutely killed it this spring. And so you look at that and you go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm looking at 6th at best, probably. You can find 6th at best at a lot of other places if you're a 4-star talent. So it's not a surprise in any stretch of the imagination. And to me, this is more development and position-based rather than a reflection of the program or Penn State University. You know what I mean?
I do, and I think this is another one of those with the transfer portal where it's most likely best for the player and also probably okay for the team also. It's, as you said, it's a position with a lot of depth. It frees up another scholarship. Where you lose a player is in a position where you seem to be in very good shape. So I don't think we're going to complain about this one. And that's pretty much been the case with most of the transfers, I think, Andy, out of Penn State. It hasn't been issues with players unhappy. It's just looking for another opportunity. So
yeah, patience necessarily isn't a virtue, right, when it comes to this. Because the transfer portal has offered you an option to make that a little more obsolete. Like, you could think in 2022 or 2023 with the free year of eligibility and only being a true freshman that, okay, I need to do some work. I can work my way up in a couple years. That's just not the way 4- and 5-star kids think anymore. And the transfer portal, that's not the way they thought inherently, even before the transfer portal. And now the transfer portal's given them a second option. So patience isn't a virtue.
And you know what? I don't blame them. When you're in a position where players from your class or even a more recent class pass you on the depth chart, it's a good decision for these players oftentimes to move on. All right, let's get to our next topic here, Andy. And I don't even know what to say anymore about this whole spring scrimmage situation. Those who've listened to the show earlier in the week, they heard me rant about how they handled things last week with just the freshmen. And they've now modified things where it turns out, magically, they have 3 more practices left for this past week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And they're going to open up Friday's scrimmage practice to the seniors, which is probably what they should have done last week anyway. Then, out of the blue, Wednesday at 9 o'clock, guess what? The scrimmage is now open to the public.
That's but, Wednesday at 9 p.m., Jim.
Yes, Wednesday at 9 p.m. Obviously, a very limited number of tickets were sold out. Not sold out because they didn't pay for them, but registered for right. the tickets. So tell me, Andy, how do you classify all this? Was this – they made the mistake last week. They corrected a mistake. Good for them. Or does it just show how tone deaf they were to begin with, that they eventually acquiesced to the public perception that they should have had the seniors there anyway? Or, I don't know, is this a case where they follow the Big Ten Conference School of Mismanagement and said, we have a situation here. How many different ways could we mess it up?
So I'll leave the ranting to you. I'm not nearly as fired up necessarily about this as you are. In one respect, I understand why the freshmen were given a crack. This is just my perspective, because they didn't get a crack in 2020, right? They had zero opportunity as freshmen at Penn State University to attend a Penn State football game because of the pandemic. Okay, you give a crack to the freshmen. Then James has three more sessions that he has in his back pocket that he's worked out schedule-wise. And you look at the seniors and you have a senior day. You want to show respect to your seniors and those that have stayed around and been around. They had plenty of time to go to games before the pandemic hit. So they've been to Beaver Stadium. They've most likely been to Whiteouts. They felt the thunder of that place and what the home field advantage actually feels like. So, okay, so they have a third pocket. It's a Friday night. Let's give them a crack at coming. My guess is they probably didn't get enough people to sign up. And, you know, Tuesday night, Wednesday, they went into a different mode and made a decision to do a sort of late night undercover announcement that if you can get in and see this and register, we have however many X tickets left to the 7,500 capacity. General public, come join us Friday night.
And I suspect, Andy, that it's true that maybe they didn't have enough seniors register for it. And so they had excess tickets. They opened it up to the public very quickly. They dispersed those tickets. My biggest issue and my reason for ranting more than anything, though, Andy, is how come you can't run this in a way that you could allow it to be televised? Because
yeah, that's a big thing. It goes back to their relationship with the Big Ten Network. Right, and what the Big Ten Network's willing to pay for? Is the university willing to front to pay to get it on television for fans? That one's tricky, but you're right.
Well, I don't think this is on the Big Ten Network in that they showed Ohio State spring game.
They did.
There seemed to be no problem there.
Yeah, I don't know which way the money's going in that scenario. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but I don't care.
Okay. All right.
Let me tell you how the money mostly goes. Okay? It's those 100,000 fans that show up every week in the fall. The money flows from them.
Correct.
Don't they at least warrant some consideration in this and let them have a TV scrimmage?
I believe they did, especially after a losing season, right? Like James has never had a losing season in his tenure at Penn State. He is very in tune and akin to the fan base and sort of does a really good job of catering to it and keeping them invested and engaged. But it feels like the university as a whole, because I'm sure if it was James' decision, we're putting this on TV. But that's not his decision to make. And especially if the money has to go from Penn State to the Big Ten in any way, shape, or form. But, yeah, I don't think it was his decision, and I think it is a big opportunity miss. And you're a fan. You're starving. You're dying. You want to watch just anything, even if it's just practice.
See, I disagree with you on the premise that it was the administration and not James. I think James, for some reason, he, remember all along, he said this wasn't going to be a scrimmage, it's just another practice. He sold it in such a way that it wouldn't be a TV product, as opposed to saying, yes, we're going to do like we typically do with the blue-white game. I believe this is on James, and even if the administration, you know, wasn't all for it, don't you think if James said, I want this, that it would happen?
Yeah, I still think, without tying my tongue, I still like to say money matters here, Jim.
Well,
yeah, I know. I still think, and you know, when you make that argument, I'm like, yeah, I think Jimmy's got a point there. He might be right, and I might be wrong, but I still think in some, it just my gut reaction is money matters.
Okay, Andrew, let's move on. The folks have been listening to me rant about this all week, so everyone knows where I stand. I want to hit on a couple things from James's press conference after the first scrimmage. There were a couple things that he talked about. One of them, he talked about Kevon Lee. He's being the type of running back who always falls forward. If it's a 2-yard run, he makes it into a 4-yard run. I swear I heard those exact same words about Noah Kane previously, and I think it's a perfect description of both those players.
Yeah, it's rinse and repeat from like a 4 or 5-game stretch of 2019 and Noah Kane. That's literally what it is. They're more similar in two running backs than you will generally find in one room. You know what I mean? And they are. They're 1A and 1B. They're both the same running back. They have sort of the same ceiling, and they both sort of have the same floor. It's very unusual to find two so similar style of running backs. It can be a huge advantage. It can also be, you know, two cooks in one kitchen type thing. But they are so similar, it's almost scary.
They really are, and it's going to lead ultimately to that discussion that we've had previously, and I'm sure we're going to have it again. You've got multiple talented running backs ready to play, all of them with big-time experience, and they want to be on the field. Let's face it, that's the way it works, and you can't play you can't play all of them. There's only one football. All right, that is it for quarter number one in the news. Stick around, quarter number two, Ross shows up for Tucker's Tape.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.